The following was that the Mount Zion meeting, the first Sunday, fourth Sunday in October 1976.
I would like for us to turn to hymn number 379. That's on page 152. Newton wrote, and I feel that what he wrote here in this hymn suits the feelings and the condition of every one of the Lord's people, hungry and faint and poor. Behold us, Lord, again assembled at thy mercy's door, thy bounty to obtain. Thy word commands us nigh, or we must starve indeed. For we no money have to buy, no righteousness to please. The food our spirits want to thy hand alone can give. Oh, hear the prayer of faith, and grant that we may eat and live. Let us stand. Sometime last evening, I believe it was, my thoughts, for some reason, were directed to the last chapter, a portion of the last chapter, that is the 28th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I feel to read, beginning at the 22nd verse through the 24th verse, and as the Lord may give me light and liberty, and you, as we hope, light and liberty, to make some remarks, a few some way I'd like to talk about, the Lord willing, some of the things that are contained in this scripture. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Now may we look to the Lord in the word of prayer. Our gracious Father, Thou who hast been so wonderfully merciful and kind and good to us all the days and the years of our lives, giving us the things that have been necessary to sustain these our natural and mortal bodies. But we feel, O Lord, since our pathway in this life is but temporary, a few days, that the other things which Thou hast given us, the hope of eternal life, seem sometimes to be far more important than these earthly blessings. And yet we thank Thee that Thou hast condescended, that Thou shouldst speak unto us through Thy Spirit and give us hope of eternal life. O Lord, we realize that what we are is entirely by Thy grace, for we have learned through the teaching of the Spirit that in us, that is in our flesh, there dwells no good thing. We know therefore that everything that we have, everything we shall have, is a gracious gift from Thee. We thank Thee, O Lord, for bringing us together this morning, and we humbly hope that it can be said of us, as the centurion said to Peter, we're all here before God to hear whatsoever He has commanded thee. O Lord, if Thou art pleased to be in the place in our midst, to pour out Thy Spirit in our hearts, remove from us our fears and tremblings, then all shall be well. If we know our hearts, our chief desire is that we might praise and adore, exalt and lift up Thy great and holy name. And as Thou mayest see fit to speak things which are comforting and upbuilding Thy people, O Lord, remember us, we pray Thee, not only as we're in this meeting, but as we leave this place, we realize that Thou hast promised never to leave us nor to forsake us, but would be with us all the way, even unto death. It has been verified, O Lord, so many times in our pilgrimage here that Thou hast protected us. Thou hast brought us through dangers, both seen and unseen. And we thank Thee, Lord, as best the poor mortal men can thank their God, and pray Thee to be with us this day. Take the wanderings of our minds and center them, Father, if it be Thy will, upon heaven and immortal glory. Center them upon Thy blessed Son, our Redeemer, that we might recall through the blessings of Thy Spirit some of the ways in which Thou hast led us and brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. Thou who knowest the thoughts and the hearts of each one who is now bowed before Thee, and Thou knowest our need. And we pray, Lord, according to Thy will, and in the name of Jesus, that mediator, that only mediator that Thou didst give to us, we pray in His name, according to Thy will, that Thou will remember us this day and go with us through the further journey of life. What a gracious God Thou art. When we remember and feel so vividly in our members what poor, hell-deserving sinners we are in our flesh, and then when we are made to feel and to be aware of the fact that Thou hast condescended to men and women of lower state, and has taught us through Thy Spirit, given us that hope of eternal life. Lord, be with us this day, and be with us as we part. Go with us all the way, and may Thy name have all the praise, the honor, and the glory, now and evermore, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to welcome every one of you here this morning. I suppose I I suppose that I know I feel so often that I lack faith, but I do know at other times that the Lord does His will, and in heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, because I had a feeling this morning the weather was rather damp and there'd be very few of us out, but what do I know? What do you know? We don't know a thing in the world except that the Lord's will is done. As I quoted, I believe, the centurion said, we're all here before God. And I hope and feel sure that we desire to hear the things that God has commanded, the things that God has enabled His servants to preach and contend for earnestly, the same doctrine that Jesus preached. And if we turn away from those things in the slightest degree, we're not preaching the gospel. You remember that the Apostle Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel. For it, he said, is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God. So we come desiring that the Lord may enable us to talk about, with some degree of liberty, if it's His will, the wonderful and glorious things that the Father hath given us. You remember that one of the writers, writing in the Holy Ghost, according to those things that were indicted in his heart, he admonished the brethren to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Not more than one time, but once delivered to the saints. Because the truth, when it was delivered, is the truth then. It is the truth today. For the truth has a peculiar characteristic of being the same, being the truth under all circumstances in every age of the world. It is unchangeable. And so the things that Jesus preached and the things that the Apostle Paul and Peter and the others preached, they were the things that God delivered, the things that Jesus preached. You remember that when God gave Moses the law for the children of Israel, He told them in that law, in that period of time, when Moses came down off of the mountain, he said, see that thou makest all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. God delivered to Moses and to those brethren back there the way that he had ordained that they, in that day and age, in that period of time, under the law, that they should worship him. And they worshiped him that way and were under that law until the fulfilling of the promises made concerning Jesus Christ in that law until the coming of Jesus into this world. And when Jesus came into the world, it was said, Jesus said, the hour is coming, now is, when they that worship God shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such to worship Him as do worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so I have been exercised very many years now, desiring that if it is the Father's will, that as I come before His people, that I may be kept by His power, because I can't keep it myself, kept by His power to and enabled to contend only for those things that we are taught by the Spirit of God. I thought this morning that what a blessed thing it is that we poor sinners who have been exercised, those of us who have been exercised by the Spirit of God, to have been quickened from being dead in trespasses and in sins, as the Apostle wrote, you hath he quickened who were dead. And goes on to tells us that we were just like everybody else in all the world, the children of disobedience, and all of these things. There was no difference between those that the Father had chosen in His Son before the world began, so far as their flesh is concerned, and all the others. But we are so dead in trespasses and in sins that I have sometimes explained it in my feelings that we're dead in trespasses and sins and don't know it. And so it takes the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts to quicken us to the knowledge that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, you remember that Jesus said to those to whom He was speaking, He said to them, evidently they were unbelievers, Jews, unbelievers, sticklers to the with the law of Moses. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of Me." Now, Paul, in this last chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, in this, I believe the 26th verse, I believe it is, 28th verse, he had lately come from Jerusalem, bound, after he had so been treated of the Pharisees and the Jewish people, and they were accusing him falsely of many things, so that it was necessary. And I hope that I may be able to prove that it was necessary, that Paul said to the governor, the king there, "I appeal unto Caesar." Now, I wondered about that, but when we remember that it was told him how great things he must suffer for My name's sake, and when it was told him that he must testify of Me in Jerusalem, or in Rome. And so this was the leading. You will find that there is nothing in the Scriptures that contradict the other. But if there are apparent contradictions, it is evidently because we do not understand them ourselves. And so we come, my friends, this morning, as the Lord may direct, to consider a little bit of what is the reason that the doctrine of God our Savior was assailed in that day, and I am persuaded that it is assailed in this day, the doctrine of God our Savior. And so, when he had lately arrived in Rome, the brethren came to where he was, I believe he called them, because they knew that he was coming to some limited extent at least. But Paul, as I said, but when the Jews spake against it, Paul said, "I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." I am not able, very seldom able, in speaking of the working of the Spirit of God in the hearts of His people, bringing them out of darkness into the marvelous light, without going back to the beginning of things, because it was in the beginning. As you remember that Moses said, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And I am apt to add on to that, though it isn't Scripture, and the fullness thereof. Moses said, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And I'm apt, as I do sometimes, to say, "In the fullness thereof. Because he did create all things. This was the beginning, as we are told by Moses, in the beginning. But it is something rather difficult to explain or even to draw people's attention to without the Spirit of God has already taught them the truth as it is in Christ. It was before the world began that God had chosen his people in his Son Jesus Christ and provided for them that he would send them into this world, him into this world, for the express purpose of redeeming his people from all their sins and all their iniquities. Well, we might say that that was before that they had been created from the dust of the earth, which was true. But we must remember that God is the God of heaven and of earth, and that it was his will before the world began to choose his people. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according as he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so, my brethren and friends, I love to go back. Because God, I so sincerely believe and understand the scriptures to teach that everything that is, has been, or shall be, was ordained by God the Father, and that he has sustained all of his will and purposes until this very day, so that it has never been necessary in his sight, never will be, to change at least one of those things that he determined before the world began. But it's a peculiar thing that we might think about it, is that God chose his people in Jesus and gave Jesus as their Redeemer before that he had formed man the dust of the earth. Very peculiar, you would say. And yet God knew, God was all working all the matter that they should fall into sin, and he provided for them in the person of his Son. Now I do not believe that Scripture does not teach that God is the author of sin, that he makes men sin. He does not. In my experience, if I am not deceived in the matter, I learned many years ago who the sinner is. And it's me. And it's you. But nevertheless, God had a purpose in it. And it is proved by the fact that before sin entered, the Father had given the remedy for sin before the disease had ever entered. It may seem strange, but it's true. And so Jesus came, when he came into the world, as it was prophesied of him by the prophets and throughout the Psalms, and all through those things is prophesied of Jesus. He should come. So when the time come, in the fullness of time, we're told, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And while it is true that we read, we were told that God spoke in times past by the prophets, he spoke by them, and but in these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son. So one of the most momentous and gracious things that God has given unto poor sinners such as we are, and especially as we of necessity must direct our thoughts to those that God chose in his Son before the world began, that being dead in trespasses and in sins, it is utterly impossible for us or anybody or any other human family to decide in any sense whatsoever to believe that Jesus is the Christ, or to decide that I will believe on him, as I was taught when I was a youth. I will believe on him, accept him, and I will be saved. But my thought is, and I would emphasize the fact, that they who are dead, and we're all in our flesh dead in trespasses and in sins. And I want to know who that is dead can move, think, believe, accept, or be saved of himself. It is utterly impossible. But God had in his eternal arrangements, before the world began, he had determined that he would send forth his Spirit into the hearts of his people. And as each one of you who have been born the Spirit of God readily recognize the fact that it was when you were dead, when you were without God, as it was said of the Gentiles, without God and without hope in the world, when you were dead, God quickened. You hath he quickened, as I quoted, who were dead. There's nothing else in all the wide world, nothing that is able to quicken a dead sinner, only the Spirit of God. And God has ordained that he should send his Spirit into the hearts of each and every one that he had chosen in his Son before the world began, bringing them to see themselves and recognizing themselves as being dead in trespasses and in sin. And this is the way that God had in opening up to the family of God, those that he loved and chose in Christ, opening up to their understanding that they, as each individual, are members of that household of faith that God chose in his Son before the world began. We must remember that it is not possible, never has been, it will not be in the future possible, for even the children of God to, in any sense, quicken themselves, because God has provided the way, the only way, by sending his Spirit into the hearts of those that he chose. Now, I can't express it any other way, because it is just that way. We come here, as you know, and as I've often expressed, we come here in a natural life, having a natural mind and given the ability in nature and natural things to understand and to take up our occupations, whatever they may be, in nature. So the apostle said, "What things knoweth the man, save the spirit of man that's in him?" That's the spirit of man. That's the spirit that we each, every one of us, in nature, have the spirit of man in us. But it is impossible, as those who have experienced these things, it is impossible for us in our natures, the nature of man, the spirit of man, to reach over into the kingdom of the Spirit of God. It's utterly impossible, though many believe and preach that you can. But when he said, "What things knoweth the spirit of man? What things knoweth the man? Say the spirit of man is in him." Then he follows that up, and it's so very important. "Likewise knoweth no man the things of God, say the Spirit of God." And so that's what we preach. We preach that we are all dead in trespasses and in sins, even though it is afterwards. In our cases, some of us, we hope that God has revealed to us that he has loved us, and we are, though unworthy we are, we are members of that number that he chose. And so the Lord has provided. He hasn't provided men with the ability to quicken dead sinners, dead in trespasses and in sins. He hasn't done that. But he's provided his own Spirit to do that. And when the Spirit speaks, the power of very power of heaven speaks, so that those that were chosen by God the Father in his Son Jesus, they are convicted, they are made to know, to realize that in me, as the apostle afterward said, "In me, that is, in my flesh, that was no good thing." And he also goes back a little bit before that. He says, "I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Now he was alive, and so was everybody else, alive in their flesh so far as they know, so far as their understanding is. They are alive in their flesh. So the apostle could very easily say, and very truthfully say, "I was alive once without the law." But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now the commandment came. Saul of Tarsus of Paul did not go after that. There was no way that he could reach up and take hold of the Spirit of God. There's no way that he could bring himself under conviction. And so the Lord had provided, and the apostle writes, "You hath he quickened who were dead." Now when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and was talking with him, he said to him something like this: "We know that thou art from God, for no man can do the things, the miracles and so forth that you do." And Jesus didn't comment on that, but he said to this man, Nicodemus, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So here are some necessary things. And the necessary things are so often contrary to the things that men believe and accept in their hearts, evidently as gospel truth. When most of the things that the unregenerated, the carnal mind of men believe are directly contrary to the things that Jesus taught. And so when Paul was preaching to these here, just shortly after he'd come to been brought to Rome, and they were some strange things. In another place, you know, it says, "These have turned the world upside down." They were preaching things, as they said, contrary to Moses and the law. And they said they'd turned the world upside down. And we know here that he said, "We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee," assuring the apostle here that what they knew of him was what they saw in him, what the Holy Spirit of God revealed in him, testifying as that he would testify to those who had been brought out of darkness. "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." It was true in that day. And I say, my brethren and friends, that the doctrine of this sect is spoken against today. They preached Jesus in that day and him crucified. But the apostle was taught, you know, "I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And so it has ever been, that when the truth is preached, they cannot receive it, because it takes, and I would have it to be understood, my friends, it takes the inward working of the Spirit of God in quickening sinners, quickening them who are dead. It takes the inner work of the Spirit of God. And it takes the Spirit of God, it takes the power of God to bring one unto that new birth of being born of the Spirit. Now I know that there's multitudes of people, and preachers especially, that will tell their congregations that everybody can be born if they will or want to be. And I said two or three times, and it comes on my mind, that I heard a man speaking on the street corner a few years ago, and I walked on up, I parked my car somewhere close by. I walked on up, and the first words I could hear, understand, he said, "Aren't you glad that you can be born again?" Telling those people standing around by there that they could. If they just would, they could be born again, except and so forth, as we hear from some of the great, so-called great evangelists today, that they can accept the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So I knew exactly, didn't hear him say all of that. I added what I knew he was going to say, and I went on. Now, my brethren and friends, if you, any of you, had been brought as I had was, as I am to hope, to see myself as the most helpless creature that ever lived in this world. And somebody would tell you, as I was told in the Sunday school in that day, that Jesus Christ came to the cross and he died. And now it was up to us, everybody, to go to the cross and there accept him and believe him. But as I started to say, if everybody had had the feeling, had the conviction, had the realization of the helplessness in my natural ability to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, nobody would preach such a doctrine as saying you have to go to the cross and there accept and believe. But I preached a different doctrine. As he said, as I have quoted two or three times, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. And so the Savior told Nicodemus about, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so this is bringing to light, bringing the force of it and the power of it. As the apostle wrote, likewise knoweth no man the things of the Spirit, the things of God save the Spirit of God. And so, to prove that it is utterly impossible for these who are dead in trespasses and in sins to quicken themselves, we only need to think about the corporeal body that we ought to so often see of our friends and relatives that they're dead, and all of the incantations, all of the begging and so forth that you and I might do, we could not quicken that mortal body. Well, in comparison to those natural things, we are all dead in trespasses and in sins, and utterly impossible for us to bring ourselves out of that death, out of those trespasses and in sins. But God provided, as I said, the way. And when Nicodemus was questioning Jesus about this matter, I've been oft-times glad that he made it so clear in showing the utter impossibility of men doing these things themselves. Because you will recall with me, as Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof. We canst not tell whence it cometh nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now the burden of my speaking this morning, my brethren, is that we, even those who were chosen by God the Father before the world began, chose them in his Son Jesus Christ, it is utterly impossible for us to bring ourselves into the knowledge of the truth. But it can only come, it has ever come, it will continue to come to those that the Father loves and Jesus died to save and redeem. It will come to those that the Spirit of God is sent unto, teaching them. And the apostle said, in me that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. But the apostle, wherever he went, it made no difference to him at all, as he was enabled by the Spirit of God to preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. So he had preached things that these people desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, because they had not heard any evil report of the apostle from Jerusalem either by letter or by anybody that had come there. They hadn't heard anything against him. But we desire of thee, speaking directly to the apostle, we desire of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Now I don't believe, my friends, that there are very many occasions that anybody who speak against these things are speaking against individuals, personalities. But it is the doctrine that men speak against. It is a doctrine that men can't believe until it is revealed to them. So we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. what thou thinkest. And I was concerned about the word think here, what thou thinkest. It isn't just a product of the natural capacity to think, but there was an inward spirit that God had sent into the heart of the Apostle Paul, bringing him out of darkness and into the marvelous light of the Son of God. And also, as the other writer there said, that God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So I insist, my friends and brethren, and so do all the writings of the Testament of the Romans and all the writings of the apostles and all of those, they insist that the whole matter, both as to the choosing, was in the hands of God, both as to the revealing in the hearts of those that were chosen, that they were chosen by God the Father, and that he has sent forth his Spirit into their hearts, bringing them to the knowledge of the truth. And if you haven't now, if there's a single one of you under the sound of my voice this morning that hasn't been taught to the Spirit of God, and I come as to talking about the election of grace, the purpose of God, the predestination of God and all things, you will say, well, I don't believe that. And I don't blame you for not believing it, because you can't believe the truth unless and until it is revealed in the heart. And mistake it not. God sometime, in God's own time, in the life of every one of those that he chose in Christ before the world began, he sends forth his Spirit into their heart, bringing them out of that darkness that's in the flesh and into the marvelous light of the Son of God. Now these people here in Rome, thereabouts where he was, they knew that there was a sect that, as I quoted, turned the world upside down. Now these people, for some reason, evidently the power of God, the Spirit of God was in their hearts and they desired to hear. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. As I said, I don't believe that it's the individuals, the preachers, or the believer that most people speak against, but it is the doctrine that that we believe. And so they asked him, we desire to hear more what thou thinkest. So the thinking there is not just, I think tomorrow it might be raining or sun might shine, but it is something deeper than that. The conviction, the evidence of God's grace in the heart. The apostle couldn't preach, my brethren, anything of the truth until and after that he was quickened on the way to Damascus. And it was the very same things that he was taught, the things that he learned, when that light and the voice from heaven came around about him, and he who believed that he was doing right beforehand was merely blaspheming and causing others to blaspheme the name of Jesus. So, my brethren, it's a terrible thing, isn't it, to want to get up and to preach things that are not in full accordance with the things that God has revealed. You know, the natural mind, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. Not subject to his laws, neither indeed can be. And so, my friends, it is so wonderful when the Lord opens up to our understanding and teaches us that we can also say with the apostle, that is in me, that is in my flesh, that dwells no good thing. But this was evil, it is spoken against. For as concerning this sect, we know that every word is spoken against. Here was a new doctrine that most of these had never heard. They had never known anything about it. It was something new. The apostle there was preaching Jesus and him crucified. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, out of the prophets, from morning until evening. Now the apostle said he was accused of preaching heresy, you know, that he was preaching heresy. But he says, I have preached nothing. I have contended for nothing. save the things that Moses and the prophets spoke about. The only difference was that the Father, the Lord, through His Spirit, had brought this apostle and the brethren, the Lord's people, further along and revealed to them these things that the prophets, Moses and the prophets, spoke about. Now, to whom He expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and of the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. So, we can say here that those who believed were those who had been quickened by the Spirit of God. In another occasion, in the 13th chapter, I believe, of the Acts, the apostle preaching and Barnabas, I think it was Barnabas with him, preaching the gospel as it was, and the Jews turned it down, and the apostle said that they were unworthy, so he turned to the Gentiles. And it is plainly written that all of those who were ordained unto eternal life, they believed. Every one of them believed. Why? Because the Spirit of God had taught them, because they were made not to be ashamed of the doctrine of God our Savior. And so these here that spoke against the preaching of the apostle. Now it is a wonderful thing, you know, that there were those brethren back in that day in Berea, and it is said were more noble than those of I don't recall the name of the other place, but they were more noble than those people, in that they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. My friends, do we search the scriptures daily to see if these things are true? Aren't there times in our lives, though we have been brought out of darkness as we feel and hope, that we like to look back and see, recall the evidences of God's grace and His mercy unto us? Yes. How wonderful is our God that He chose His people. Now I know that this is a doctrine that can't be understood. I know it can't be believed until we are exercised of the Spirit of God. So as a matter of fact, every one of those that the Father chose in His Son before the world began, He gives them hope of eternal life, hope of it. So that was a Jew that said, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. And so we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, as Peter said, "You hath He quickened who were dead." Brethren, friends, may the Lord be with us. May He fasten in our very hearts to realize that what we are is solely and only by the grace of God. If I believe something that my friend and brother doesn't believe, that my neighbor doesn't believe, do I have something to boast of? No, not a thing in the world. But I feel that we have something to be thankful for. And God, think about it. And God, the Maker and the Creator of the heavens and the earth, whose people fell, along with all the Adam family, fell in trespasses and in sins. And yet God loved them with such a love that He gave His only begotten Son to come here in this low ground of sin and sorrow, suffer as He had to suffer, that His people, the Lord's people, should be redeemed. I came not to do, He said, mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And this is the will of the Father that sent me, that of all that He hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And Jesus, talking to the Pharisees, talking to anybody that was standing around listening, I suspect that some of His own people were there, He said to them, "No man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him." Think about that. I don't hear that kind of doctrine being preached very extensively in these days. But He also said, "All that the Father hath given me of all that the fathers have given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Friends and brethren, what a wonderful, gracious God we have. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. For in them the apostles, Jesus said, ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. You won't find eternal life in searching the scriptures. What you think you do, many people today and have in every age of the world, think that if they keep the things of the law, even if they can't keep them, do the very best they can, then God will make allowance and receive them. But my brethren, the law is not given as any way whereby that we might be saved, but it is by the grace of God that we all are what we are. And grace brings us to the knowledge of the truth. Grace keeps us every step of the way. And in that great morning, when Jesus comes again, my friend, as the colored man said, it's great getting that time. It is so wonderful that I dare say that it is very seldom that we ever have this, even the smallest part of the Spirit in which we're made to rejoice, to know, to feel assured that though we're such vile sinners, yet God loved us and Jesus died for us. May he be with you, keep you, guide you, give you grace each day sufficient for your need, and may we be enabled to praise, to adore, and exalt his great and holy name. I have turned to what has become to be one of my favorite hymns in the book, and I often call for it. I hope nobody will object to that, because I feel that there are many things in this hymn that were written by Cowper that were experimental with me and makes me love page 111. Sometimes a light surprises the Christian while he sings. It is the Lord who rises with healing in his wings. When comforts are declining, he grants the soul again a season of clear shining to cheer it after rain. In holy contemplation, we sweetly then pursue the theme of God's salvation and find it ever new. Set free from present sorrow, we cheerfully can say, e'en let the unknown morrow bring with it what it may. Page 111, the first hymn, while we sing, we announce an open door for the reception of members. Let us stand. With me. Before we are dismissed, I want to say that Mrs. Holling, from all of the, I suppose, I expect, no, practically all except our visitors from a distance, she was very ill last week, and they thought surely that she had a strong stroke. But it turned out not to be, and now she's feeling better, but not able to come to the meeting today. We miss her. Mr. Holling is here, of course, but we miss her. She is such a friend, and so good to look after many things in this building. Now may we look to the Lord. Yes. I
don't know the tune we use there. I can sing it. Maybe we can find out.
Well, how about you leading that part of us, if you will? We'd be glad to lead it, follow after. Is that the first hymn, the first one on the page? Yes, that's right.
Oh, ransomed my Savior me, and dear my Jesus died. Would he be both that sacred head, our side?
right of that hymn, Dr. Hart, Dr. Watts, he evidently was an experienced man in the grace of God. And it's a lovely hymn. Now may we look to the Lord. Lord, we give thee thanks that thou hast brought us together this day. Pray thee, Lord, to go with us, each one of us, choosing our changes for us as we depart from this place. We thank thee, O Lord, for the gift of thy dear Son. Thank thee that if we're not deceived, thou hast revealed through thy Spirit the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And pray thee to keep each one of us, O Lord, humble, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth, that thy name may be exalted above every name that has ever been named. So, Father, be with us, we pray thee. We need thee every day, every hour, every moment we live. We pray thy will be done forever and ever in the name of our blessed Redeemer and for his sake. Amen.